Good to see everyone this morning. Beautiful morning. Before we get started, I want to welcome everyone to our Bible study. We'll be in chapter 3 of Ephesians. We'll have a little bit of review of chapter 2, a few verses, and get into 3. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer, please. Our dear God and Father, which art in heaven, we are so thankful unto you for giving us life today, for giving us more abundantly through your Son who died and suffered for our sins. Help us never give up, but move forward in this life, knowing if we're faithful, be worth it all someday. We ask you to be with all the sick, so many on our prayer list, and shut-ins, and our widows, be with them. Help the work here at New Lex grow, and help our everything we do be to your name's honor and glory, and worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for Daryl coming, and be with him as he gives us his lesson. Be with Karen, who's not feeling well. Help her get well. Dave and Rosie, be with them. And Bonnie and all the sick and afflicted. Rosemary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We got went over chapter 2 last week, a couple weeks there, and we ended up there at the end of the hour. But I'd like to go back a few verses in chapter 2 to get us started in 3. Ephesians chapter 2. I think it's 6 chapters in this book, Ephesians. And it's a lot to do with how to live for our Lord. And very, very good book, I believe. They're all good books. And I encourage you to study this book here at home, because we'll be in it a little while longer, not halfway through it yet, but it's a good book. Let's read, let's go back to chapter 2, we'll finish up chapter 2, verse 18 through 22 again, please. Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through him we have both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, the fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, we'll go over them a little bit and get started in 3. Verse 18, for through him, that's of course our Lord, isn't it? We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, unto God, isn't it? Verse 19 there, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. What's he saying here? Fellow citizens with the saints. You're no more strangers, but now fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Anyone want to tackle that a little bit?
Well, he's speaking to the Gentiles in particular. And the Gentiles were not God's chosen people. The Jews were.
Right.
And the Old Testament law was for the Jews. The Gentiles were to live basically under the old patriarchal age. But when Christ came, he brought everybody into the same fold and made and allowed no one to be a stranger or a foreigner anymore, because they were all accepted to follow God according to his will under the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, thank you. As Daryl mentioned, and might add there that we're no more strangers. We don't have to be strangers to God, do we? If we obey him and follow him, it's like if you don't know someone that comes in here and never saw them before, they're a stranger, aren't they? But if you get to know them, talk to them, and becomes friends with them, maybe lead them to the Lord. If we're not, you're no more a stranger. You're a friend, aren't you? How are we supposed to be friends to God? Jesus said in John 15:14, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. How are we going to be friends, not be strangers, if we're not doing his work and will? We can be fellow citizens, it says, with the saints. That's, of course, Christians. and of the household of God, the church. All of it pertains to the church, doesn't it? Okay? If you have any comments, please speak up. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's using a building here again as a foundation. When we build a building, it needs a strong foundation, doesn't it? It can't be wobbly. You got to know what you're doing and build it level and strong mortar and everything. But he's talking here spiritual, and it's built upon the apostles and prophets. What he God gave them the ability to preach and teach the gospel, didn't he? The truth, apostles and prophets. But it says here, and we're in chapter 2 of Ephesians and verse 20. We're finishing up this chapter. Good to have you with us. We're finishing up chapter 2 today, and we're going to get in chapter 3 of Ephesians. There's 6 chapters in this book. Verse 20 again, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's very important, isn't it? The apostles preached the gospel. They preached and went everywhere. But how did they preach? They preached the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what they preached. They preached the truth. And Jesus Christ, verse 20 says, he being the chief cornerstone. You know, nothing, the church is perfect as far as what God or Christ built. It's not perfect because of people. We're not perfect. When we're in the church as Christians, none of us are perfect. But the Lord made the church, the Word here, perfect. There's no mistakes in it, and we need to follow His Word the best we can.
God mentions there the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, and you can go back over to Matthew 16, where Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter eventually said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus told him a verse or two later there in Matthew 16, 18, I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's Jesus telling Peter, and gives us the information, the foundation. So, you know, with Peter having the keys that he opened it on the day of Pentecost, and then again when he went and baptized Cornelius, that was for the way of the Jews and we have the Gentiles, the foundation of what was talked about there in 18 of not being strangers, but fellow citizens. And it's all built on that. It's all built upon the teachings of the prophets of the Old Testament to follow God, to do His will. And that's where we got Jesus Christ that gave the authority to the apostles to do those things.
Right. Right. Thank you. He's the chief cornerstone, it says. Chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together, I'm using King James Version, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's kind of interesting. Are built, ye also are built, he's talking to the Christians, saints, together, verse 21, going back there, are building a building fitly framed together. Now see there, the church, he's talking about the spiritual talking, fitly framed together. The church that our Lord died and built is fit together, and it's fit together right. It's truth. It's perfect. And again, I say people in it's not perfect, but everything we have here in the Word is perfect. We can't change it, can't alter it, expect to be right for God or please Him. It's already all written. Why do we want to change anything? It's all fitly framed together, the church.
That word cornerstone is important there because if you watch when a building is built, they have to start someplace. And they start with the cornerstone, and it's laid in the corner because it's going to start two walls. And you think that that's a good picture to think of what's happening here. The Jews and the Gentiles came together. And it's not separated, it's not divided, it's one body.
Right.
And that cornerstone then also does another thing. When you take it from the starting point, as Jim mentioned, and you use it, also, it sometimes gives reference to who built the structure.
Yeah.
You go to some of these large buildings in particular that are older, that are brick and stone, they'll have a stone placed in there that tells you the builder is, the architect, and everything else. Of course, Paul's here saying this is Jesus Christ is the builder, the cornerstone. But it's kind of interesting. Everything's fitly put together. You look at a building, let's say it's put up out of a concrete block. One row starts with a full block. The next row starts with a half or a third.
Yep.
And the next one, you know, and eventually you get back down. If you used full blocks on every row and everything was straight up and down, that wall would do nothing but fall over.
Right.
But all those blocks laid in a particular order help hold that thing together and give the strength structure.
Right.
Or the structure strength. Yeah.
Yep. That's a good point.
Fitly formed together.
Yep. And them blocks, when you do one row and then you cut a block and put half, like you say, that makes it all together strong, doesn't it?
Or think of when we were kids. We had the old Lincoln logs.
Yeah.
They were all designed to fit together a certain way. That's the Lord's church.
Yep. And as you said, when the Lord told Peter he built his church, I know we went through this many times, the Lord's very particular about his church. He loves his church. He built his church. Not churches. He built his church.
Amen.
Okay, I'll find a verse here I was looking for. One more verse I'd like to go to. It's in the Old Testament. I'm going to read this verse again. And are built upon the foundation, that's what we've been talking about, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Also it tells us in verses he's a chief shepherd, isn't he? He's the chief. In Psalms 118, verse 22, this goes back and talks a little bit about the church. Psalms 118, would someone want to read that? Psalms 118, verse 22. And we have many verses in the Old Testament talk about the coming of our Lord and when he would be born and everything. It's not just in the New. Psalms 118, 22, please.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
Well, what's that saying, Daryl?
Well, Christ was rejected by the Jews, but he still was the stone that the Lord God set everything off of.
Right. Would you read verse 23 there too?
And this was the Lord's doing. And it was marvelous in our eyes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. This is the Lord's doing, not man's, not mine, not yours. This was the plan that the Lord had. The stone which the builders refused. And they're still refusing it today, aren't they? People are refusing to go by what the God says. They're refusing it. They don't want to go by all what God's word says. It's very important. He's the chief. Verse 22 then, or let's look at 21 again. In whom all the building fitly framed together grows into the holy temple in the Lord. In whom, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation or dwelling place of God through the Spirit. That's eternal in heaven, our habitation someday with our Lord. You are builded together as the church. Any comments? Maybe we get started in chapter 3 a little bit here. Someone want to read the four verses there, please. Chapter 3. We'll go over them.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote forward a few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
For this cause, he just went from saying, in whom you are builded together, talking about the church, he's talking about the fitly framed together building that God, Christ built, spiritual speaking, we're talking spiritually. For this cause, Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for this cause, what he's been preaching, goes along with this, the prisoner, he's a prisoner now, of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Paul wrote a lot in the Word of God when he's in prison. And Dave read, if you have heard, verse 2, of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. If you've heard the dispensation of God. And verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. This was all mystery at one time about all the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and building a church. But he had a plan before ever the world was. He had this planned out because God knows everything, doesn't he? And it wasn't made known to us until, of course, we have this New Testament and the Bible, which Paul and them written, and it come down to, Daryl said, the Gentile. Cornelius, they was the first convert, a Gentile convert in Acts chapter 10. If you will read that chapter. Cornelius was a man, religious man, had all kind. He was rich, prayed to God, and he served God the best he knew how. You'd think this man was right, wouldn't you? We'll go to chapter 10, the first convert of the New Testament. If you'll go to Acts chapter 10, and then we'll get going here. Acts chapter 10. Someone want to read chapter 10? First six verses, chapter 10. This is very important.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called an Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God, with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine arm, thou alms, are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname was Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do.
Here we are. Let's go over that a little bit as Tyler read. As I said earlier, Cornelius, first convert, Gentile, in the New Testament here. This is when the book was just getting started. And there it says here in verse 2, as I said earlier, Cornelius was a devout man, that's a religious man. He was serious about that. And one that feared God. He feared God. That means he reverenced God, as we should do, right? Feared God with all his house, his family, I guess, which gave much alms to the people. That means he helped people. And prayed what? He prayed to God always. Wouldn't you think that kind of a man would be? He was a good man, wasn't he? Then Tyler read, he saw a vision, verse 3, ninth hour, an angel of God coming to him, and saying to him, Cornelius. This is when they saw visions and angels and things before the New Testament all completed. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. Of course you would be, wouldn't you? What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. There, remember, he's praying always to God. And now you send men to Joppa and call for Simon. That was Peter. And he lodged with Simon, verse 6, a tanner whose house is by the seaside. Very important here. Daryl, would you finish that verse? Verse 6? Chapter 10. Acts 10, verse 6. Just read the whole book, or chapter, if you, or verse.
Acts 10 and 6.
Yes.
He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do.
Okay. Although he was a good man, gave much alms to people, feared God, prayed always, and he says there, and King James says, he will tell you what you ought us to do. He wasn't saved, was he? He wasn't saved. And I'd like to go over last verse and a couple verses in Acts 10, verse 47 and 8. Peter said, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So that tells us we can be very good people, and there is a lot of good people. And we can fear God, and we can do much good, but we have to obey Him, what the Word said, all of it, don't we? Any comments? Please speak up if you have any.
I ran into someone not too long ago that spoke on this right now, and he tried to say that Cornelius wasn't saved here by the, they tried to make it out to the Holy Ghost. Well, it's pretty plain here that they were, he was not saved.
Right. Yeah. Well, he had to send men to see what he ought to do, or must do. That's just like Paul in Acts chapter 9. He said, you go in the city and it will tell what you must do. And he, was, of course, had to be baptized. Very important, these verses. That's why we divide the word rightly, don't we? Very good there, Jim. Thanks. For this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, verse 1, 3. And if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you, or to you, word. It was given to him when he rode to Damascus, when he saw Christ and he had to change. After 3 days he prayed and it wasn't enough. He had to be, of course, baptized into Christ. How but, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, Dave read this, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we can understand the Bible, can't we? Paul said we can right here. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Not everything's easy, is it, to understand? I remember Peter even said that some things Paul wrote was hard to understand. Would someone please go to 2 Peter? 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. 2 Peter 3.
This is the New King James. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, is written to you. As also in all epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable be twist to their own destruction, as we do also the rest of the scriptures.
Paul did write things hard to understand sometimes. Peter said this, but he wants us, God wants us to study and try to learn all we can. Because Jim just read there that, what did he say in verse 16, Jim? They that are unlearned, after things are hard to understand, rest W-R-E-S-T, as they do all other scriptures also, unto their own destruction. What's he saying there?
They're not understanding it yet, and they think they do understand it. That happens to all of us. I think about the times that some things you get the insight later, that you get something over and you didn't really get it deep enough, you come back and read that and you get it correct.
Jim read 16 there. I'd like to read 17 and 18 of 2 Peter goes along with this. When he said, to their own destruction, they don't learn what to understand it, and we can learn it. We don't know it all. There's things we're not going to understand. But he says, Peter said, ye therefore, beloved, verse 17, you therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. He said, beware. If we don't know God's word and study it and learn it, we might let someone lead us astray. They might be good speakers. We have to watch that. And we can fall away if we don't know the truth. And he says, grow in grace, 2 Peter, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory. Okay?
We have to have a certain attitude when we do the scriptures. We come to the attitude, and we run into that sometimes, they're not open at that point, even with the scriptures when it says that. A lot of times you find that. So we have to be willing to accept what it says and do what it says after we realize what it's saying is.
Yes.
You close your mind and say, well, I don't care what it says, I'm not going to do that. That type of attitude, that shuts things down. I think that kind of has a problem with what was referred to there in the verses earlier that we read.
One of the biggest things is the fact we don't want to take the time to do what we need to do. Paul says, or it says there in the book of Acts, those that Berea are more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they search the scriptures daily to see what Paul was saying is true. We have to do the same thing. We not only have the Old Testament that we can look at, but we also have the New Testament, which is what we're supposed to follow. So we can search the scriptures in the New Testament, connect them to the scriptures of the Old Testament to see, hey, it's true, and I need to do this or I need to do that. It depends upon who, that's what we're going to talk about later in the sermon, who you're going to follow.
Yeah.
Or who are you going to lead and where are you going to lead them to?
Yes.
It's something on that verse, too, more noble. It didn't say that they weren't noble. It said these other people are more noble. And I think that's a good definition of that word, diligent.
Yeah.
Diligent study.
Right. And they wanted to see if the things they told the apostles were true, didn't they? You know, we can have the best speaker come, or if you have a preacher, preaches the truth, we still have to look and see if he's preaching the truth. That's our responsibility. And as a teacher, you need to search and see if I'm telling the truth. If I should say something, make a mistake, let me know, because we all make mistakes, but I wouldn't intend to water down God's word in any way. Okay, we have just a couple minutes. We'll go in verse 4 and 5 again. Wherefore, as Dave read, when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ. Within other ages, that was times past, this was not made known to sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That's the New Testament. We now have this. Paul and them preached the apostles, and they wrote it. And now we have the New Testament and the church. One more verse. Verse 6. Someone read that, please. The Gentile. We're Gentiles, aren't we? Or anyone. That the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs and of the same body. What's he saying?
Well, God is no respecter of persons. And he doesn't show partiality to those that were Jewish and to those that were not, as far as the Gentiles are concerned. Even though the Jews thought that he did, he didn't show partiality.
Right.
And even today, there is no partiality. We're all supposed to be the same.
Yeah, no respecter of persons. And also he said same body. What's he saying?
All one. One church.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. When you look at the English, and we're all English scholars, of course, he said, I will build many churches. I will build your churches. No, he said, I will build mine.
Yeah.
It's his. He's the owner. And, you know, it's for him to do. And it was his.
Remember, God's a jealous God. If we don't do what he says, he don't like it. And he's a wonderful God, he is, how great he is. And I'm glad we have the truth, what he wants us to do and to go to heaven. We'll start there in verse 6, have a little review in chapter 3, and just mosey along next week, Lord willing. Thank you.